Off the ball. Rugby.
Sevens was for your early 20s.
We ever tempted?
Wouldn't have thought of anything worse. First of all, my engine was not my strong point. It would have had to be in those very early years.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Koigig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
Very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Koigig Podcast. I am Kathleen McNamee and I am joined, as ever, by Captain Karen Duggan to look back on the international window, which we are coming to the end of, I would say, not as unscathed as we expected. It actually isn't all too bad, all things considered. As we were both at the England game last night, it looked like after the first 20 minutes it was going to be an absolute massacre of an evening, but we were very lucky. We came back into it in the second half. We changed up formation. We got some new bodies on the pitch and it really, really helped. And we were going into the next international window just 3 goals in the deficit, which is definitely not the worst takeaway considering the build-up that we had to these. Karen, I know we haven't had a lot of time to think on this or sleep on this. I don't know about you. Every time after a game, it takes me hours to get asleep. And then we're up at 7 o'clock recording. And I'm like, those 2 hours really helped me analyze this game.
Yeah, well, I actually went out after the game because it was one of those days where everyone wanted to go to the match. Everyone was out. There was a party atmosphere. It was England at home in the Aviva. It was an occasion. You know, it really, really was an occasion. And yeah, like you said, it could have been a massacre, all things considered, considering the way the game started, considering there was a potential for a third goal with the penalty, which I think really would have stuck the knife in that first half. But like you say, we come out of this international window not licking our wounds too much, you know. Before the first 2 games, if you said you'd be 3 goals in the deficit, I would have said, yeah, I know we're supposed to say, look, we can go, we can nick a point, we can do this. But when you looked at the quality last night, like I was so struck by the difference in levels, you know, when you're pitch side and you're seeing how good their one touch is, how good their movement is, how, especially the France game, how much more athletic they are, you know, in terms of like power, pace, to have, you know, withheld such discipline throughout those 2 games to only concede 3 goals. It is a testament to us. We know it's something we can do. We know we can be better in possession, all this, but there is many, many levels we have to climb to before we're considered among the teams that we're playing against now. And to have held our own to that level, I think is a credit to us.
It's interesting last night, especially in the first half, maybe less so in the second half, but I really noticed the difference in quality between how the French played and how the English played, just like the pure speed that England had on the ball. And as you say, that one touch play and the passing, the channels that they were finding for each other was on a different plane, I thought, to what the French did against us. And that was the thing that really worried me, having up front and conceding twice against England. That's why I thought we were going to go on and concede a lot more. And full credit to the team. While it'd be nice to be able to do it over maybe more than just the second half, they were able to pull themselves together a little bit more. In terms of how we started and where we ended up, for you, what were the main differences in the team? I know there was Megan Campbell coming on, obviously made a huge difference in allowing Katie a little bit more space to roam. It gave us the additional attack. Megan Connolly as well in midfield was quite dogged when it came to chasing down some of England's better midfielders. But what's the thing that makes us, in the first half, perform that we have over the last 2 games, and then the second half, actually put it to these teams that we know are miles ahead of where we are currently?
I would even say the first half of the England game, we were better than we were in the first half of the French game in terms of bravery in how we stepped in to try and like put pressure on them. I thought the first 10 minutes, you know, were really, really good, really got the crowd on side. But it's very hard to get yourself to the level that England are playing at, because very few players on the pitch are used to playing at that level. You know, there is a marked difference between what most of the girls are playing and where England are at. So all things considered, I thought the first 10 minutes really, really good. Obviously, the concession of the goal, not clear in our lines, not putting pressure on a cross. Small little things that make the difference and we'll be disappointed in. And if you look at the goals that were conceded, they were all avoidable by putting more pressure on, by being that little bit fitter, by being that little bit more willing to step out and break the lines. So we can definitely be braver in our approach. And I think that was the difference between the first and the second half. It's almost like, oh, we have nothing to lose, but we have to go for it a little bit more. And it was like the shackles are off a bit. We need to have that from the start. And I know you risk opening floodgates, but I don't know how you improve as a team in those elements unless you start doing it now. And I kind of said it after the French game, like people will say honour in defeat with 1-0, but is it not better to lose 2 or 3-0 playing a style of play which has an identity, which has the way that you want to grow elements of that? I think the bravery and obviously the fresh legs, like you mentioned, really good. I was surprised Megan Campbell didn't start after the first game, given the impact she had. And not only in terms of attacking threat, I think just the relief that having her throw, getting you out of your own half from those early tours where you were pinned back by a better side, I think it would have been very, very helpful for us to just give some respite to the midfield from all the running they've had to do over. And Caruso, you know, a very forlorn figure up front. But it's easy to say now, isn't it? But like at the end of the day, I really was struck by the levels that France and England have. It's not, I don't think you fully get an appreciation for it till you're faced with it. And your team aren't playing particularly badly, but they can't get nowhere near, you know, the opposition.
Yeah, I think it was very typical of all the players that we talked to last night. Caruso was the most positive in the way that she always is whenever you chat to her, but also extremely frustrated in, I suppose, just the lack of ball she was getting.
It was the type of ball for me. It was the long lumped ball, and they were for her to chase, which is not Caruso's strong point. We know she's very good at holding the play up and that. So again, perhaps in the second game, if you knew that was the way Ireland were going to relief some of the pressure that they were under, if it was going to be a long ball game, would you have been better at looking at a Leanne Kiernan or a Heather Payne up top who will run the channels and maybe win you a throw in up higher? But it's easy to say that as well, because if you're looking at your strongest starting 11, Caruso is in there. So that's a really hard one to balance up.
I think as well, though, she really cemented that position when we were playing in League B, and we know we need a certain, so a different style of play. Like, yes, we still want to play that progressive, more aggressive football, but we need to tailor it a little bit to the opposition that we are playing as well. And is there some other way to switch up her role a little bit so that she's not chasing down balls? Because actually watching her last night, it did feel slightly reminiscent of when Heather Payne was playing up top solo by herself. And yes, she will run all day long, but it's not very productive for us when we're trying to get that goal. I don't know what the solution is, because as you say, Caruso is one of our stronger players and you do want to have her in that team in general, but maybe it's developing a better partnership with someone up there, or improve if we can get Megan Campbell into the squad a little bit more consistently. I assume she didn't start last night because of the minutes that she's played, and they thought it's better to have her attacking threat coming on, especially with the way the team tends to peak in the second half. It was better to have it then, but as you say, it's all kind of guessing games. If she had started, would we have maybe started a little bit more strongly last night?
Yeah, look, it's really, really hard to know. And if she had started, would you have maybe played Heather Payne right wing back, where her pace would have been able to manage Hemp a little bit better than Mannion? But then you also wanted Katie in that left wing back position. So it's all very much hindsight, what if this, that and the other. But we could analyse it to death at the end of the day. France, England, far superior, way further along in their development, very evident now, but only -3 in terms of the deficit. And like we spoke to Louise Quinn after the game yesterday, like absolutely physically and emotionally exhausted. The girls gave it their all for both games. And yeah, first half in France, elements of the first half in England, completely overrun. But the fact that they stuck to it till the end, you don't want to be like, oh, didn't the girls do great, like in defeat, and we want to get away from that. But we can't get away from that for, it could be 5, 10 years, maybe even more. And it comes from when England started to develop their grassroots, when they started to develop their league, all of this stuff. Like, we had a lot of English-born players on the team. We are benefiting from the development that they've done, and we'll continue to do that until we, you know, start to sow more seeds. And that will happen based on what the girls are doing now, like 30-something thousand people, really good performances. It's going to keep growing the game in this country, but yeah, we're not there now. And that's just the reality of it.
No, we're not. Actually quite impressed. We have talked so much in the run into these games, how they were going to go. And I'm pretty sure you could chart my feelings for both games went the exact same way, where I went in with a vague optimism, kind of for the first.
Got a dose of reality.
Yeah. So the first like 10, 15 minutes, kind of like,
oh, yeah,
maybe we'll be okay. Dose of reality. Absolutely devastated. We're going to get absolutely hammered. And then we're actually not that bad. And that it was the exact same for the two games, how it went. And especially with how the French game ended, I think that's why I went into the England game with a little bit more renewed optimism. I was like, okay, I actually have something to back it up now. But then you do know the opposition that you're against is difficult. Interesting result last night as well with the France-Sweden game. France, it was a 1-0 win for them. So Sweden proven a sticky one for both teams. And I know we have talked about it before, as they're the team that we feel like we can maybe get a result off, just because we do have a history with them.
That's just because we have a recent history with them, and we need to have some blind optimism. You know, you don't want anyone to go into a group being like, oh, we are going to lose every game in this group, you know, and we might lose them by quite, you know, significant margins. But we've already proven to ourselves that the margins can be kept to a minimum, and our recent history, you know, we deserve to have this little bit of blind optimism. We can see progression in the team. We've had a positive result against Sweden. Sweden's form is good at the moment, you know. And it's not to say our form is good, bad, or indifferent. It doesn't matter, because Sweden are still levels above us, you know. But yeah, I think we're allowed to have that optimism even now after these two games. Why not? You can't.
Oh, definitely.
Why not? You know.
I think more so after these two games, not in a cocky way or anything, but we have.
And not in a way where we're saying we're going to go out against Sweden and we're going to dictate the play and we're going to be all of a sudden this amazing team in possession and we're going to go at them in waves and waves of attack. It will be that we will still absorb pressure and hope to get something out of it on the break. There's a long way to go. Like, we still aren't a team who are very assured in possession. You know, we'll have one small good passage of play and then we'll have to go long and we'll have to chase balls and we'll have to work our way up the pitch to try and get a throw in or a free kick and stuff like that. And like you're saying, that element of bravery and that assuredness that comes from playing at this level and getting up to speed with your France's and Sweden's. And that's not going to happen overnight. That's a year that takes years in the making. So the approach against Sweden will very much be the approach we took to these two games, very respectful of the opposition, but hopeful, you know, hopeful.
We need a little bit of hope on this.
Everyone does.
Wednesday morning.
Very early in the morning to have this much hope, but I do feel.
You mentioned you guys chatted to Louise Quinn afterwards and she said about how physically and emotionally difficult it was. Caitlin Hayes said the same thing. Denise O'Sullivan was really interesting on this to us as well, because for me, she almost seemed like she was in a place that she was when we were crashing out of the World Cup, and it was quite devastating. And I suppose because maybe we all expected the games to go a little bit worse, I didn't feel that negative talking to them afterwards, but it was quite clear that they had really felt the impact of that really tight turnaround from really intense game in Metz on Friday to really intense game in the Aviva, plus all the emotion of it being their only second game there against England, who were up, even though we haven't faced them in nearly 40 odd years, there's still always going to be a little bit of emotion there. And she was saying, you know, now I have to think about going back to America, playing at my club this weekend. And then it's a relatively tight turnaround to the next international camp. We play Sweden in the Aviva on the 31st of May. But how do the players, and how does Eileen Gleeson as well, handle that physical and also emotional come down from the last couple of days of what has been like a really short, really high intensity camp when you don't have all the players in front of you too, so that we can go into that Sweden game with our best foot forward?
Yeah, look, and to be honest, that's the joy of international football. It's really not up to Eileen now. It's up to the players themselves to be able to manage this and use this as a springboard for their own careers and for going back to clubs to make sure that they're in the best, you know, possible shape they can be when they do come back for that game in May. But I don't think you'll ever have an occasion where the emotion will be or kind of mirror what the girls went through yesterday. I mean, it was second ever game in the Aviva, huge crowd against the team that you want to beat more than anything in the world. But also knowing that that's a huge, that's a task that's a little bit out of reach. I can't, it's a very hard one to manage because you will have gotten yourself so, so psyched up absolutely for that game, and that the come down will be really bad. But I think like when they step away from it and they reflect, the disappointment will dissipate and they'll say, okay, we're not that far off. And I think that it can be spun as a motivation to kick on as opposed to anything else. I really don't have a massively dejected feeling coming out of these two games. And I think when the dust settles, the girls will feel the same.
Yeah, I don't think any fan, anyone I've talked to anyways, last night at the Aviva or this morning has actually been quite optimistic after those two games, which I think is important, and I totally get from the player side of thing, of course.
It's that dose of realism that we spoke about. It's that you go into it and you're optimistic and then you actually see how good they are. Like, you see the subs that like France were able to bring on, you see the subs that England were
when England did the double substitution of Fran Kirby and Beth Mead, I was like, this is fine.
You know, I mean, and just the way that they can play. And yeah, I actually felt such an appreciation for, you know, we watched the WSL every week and we were just like, yeah, you know, it's really growing. It's maybe the best league in the world. And then you see the levels that the girls those are actually playing at. And it's a really, really impressive. Like it is, you know, it's night and day to where like the lower leagues are or to where we are in Ireland. And there's not much you can say on that until we get millions and millions of pounds of investment and we get triple the amount of girls playing and, you know, these kind of things.
Or we discover a star striker like Lauren James, which we've actually just, someone's just taken a little bit of her DNA last night and we're going to grow in a lab somewhere.
This is it. Like, she always looks like she's in third gear, yet no one can lay a finger on her. It's, yeah, just, it is what it is.
I love watching her play. She's so different to like a Lucy Bronze or a Kira Walsh or even Chloe Kelly, Lauren Hemp. That sort of, she, I don't want to say it's like a lazy style of play because it's not that, but she has this like calmness on the ball where you don't expect her to do something. And then just out of nowhere, she pulls this amazing skill. And
she's her brain,
like three defenders and taking an absolutely insane shot. And you're like, where did that come out of? That was incredible.
Yeah, her brain works different. And she has a that kind of rare confidence that she can do whatever she wants on the ball. And as a defender, that's the scariest thing in the world. Like, you really don't know what she's going to do next, left foot, right foot, whether she's going to really try or whether she's going to leave a boot in on you and get herself booked. She is capable of doing any of those things. And you talk about how Eileen will manage certain things. I don't know how you manage Lauren James, because you don't want to take anything away from her game, but you do. You want her to be 100% all the time and stop getting yellow cards and stop getting red cards and all that stuff. But you can't take away from kind of the genius that she possesses as well. So
that's a bit like the McCabe conundrum, and you know, that's so much part of her game, no matter how essential she is to the team. And it's just something you either need to accept, because I don't know if it's something you're ever going to necessarily take out of the game.
Yeah. No, and I wouldn't take it out of Katie's game as well, you know, so.
No, I don't think I would. Is there any way that we can go into the Sweden games, say, in particular, just because they're the next ones, and not have it where it comes to the last 10, 15 minutes and we have Katie playing in essentially every single position and feeling like she has to do everything, and maybe as a result not making the best decisions on the pitch, decisions that would probably frustrate her massively if it was anyone else on the pitch making them?
Well, it has to come from not conceding in the first 10, 20 minutes and keeping a foothold in the game for much longer, to the point where it's not a last ditch attempt at attacking, you know, where we can still make a concerted effort to stay in the game and use all the things you learn on the training field, that do go out the window when you've had to do doggies or you've had to chase a game in a way that you hadn't planned. Like, the game plan was not to concede in the first 10 minutes in these two games. Didn't work out like that. And then the game plan didn't go out the window because we stayed in it, but at some point you have to show a bit more ambition, and we had to show it in a way after being, you know, run ragged a little bit, and then, you know, the cohesion and the teamwork goes out the window a little bit, and Katie feels responsibility that she has to do a lot herself. So it's going to be, I'd love to see us get into the second half at nil all and then seeing, can we still grow into the game? You know, that's, I think, the first point that they need to address. Just concentration, because the fitness is there for the first 20 minutes. You can do doggies for 20 minutes. You can't do it for 90, but.
Well, I always find it interesting with this team, because I think we struggle with certain time periods. So we saw around the time of the World Cup, it was like just before halftime, just after halftime. In the most recent window, it's those first 10, 15 minutes. And I don't know how we get ourselves out of it. I've talked to Ali Gleason about it several times. I'm sure she's talked to her management about it, chatted to Vera Powell about it, chatted to the players about it, and they are well aware. It's just a consistent problem that with just one little moment, heads drops, and then we go on a prolonged period of really being under the cosh, and then we manage to rally and bring ourselves out of it, but we just don't have the attacking style of play, or maybe the forwards that we need at the moment to push on and utilize that time in the way that we would like to. So maybe we will discover something excellent in the next 2 months before May, but we will see how that goes. Karen, thank you very much, as ever. A pleasure. Look forward to doing it all again with you very, very soon.
Yes.
The Koi Gig Pod is brought to you by Cadbury, official staff partner to the Republic of Ireland Women's National Team. Thank you all very, very much for listening. We hope any of you that made it to the Aviva that you had a great night. Hopefully we will see you there again on May 31st for the Sweden game. If you want to get in contact with us, you can get us on Twitter, or X, I should say, as it's called now, at the Koi Gig Pod. If you have any pictures of you at the Aviva, or if you were one of the lucky few that made it over to Metz on Friday, please do get them into us. We always love to see the support that the team are getting. Thank you very much for listening, and we will chat to you all very, very soon.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball, in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland Women's National Team.